cross the bridge of death must answer me these questions three, ere the podcast's end he see.
Ask me the questions, Bridgekeeper, I'm not afraid.
What is your name?
Sir Robin of Camelot.
What is your quest?
To seek the Holy Grail.
Will, you press the button on the randomizer for me this week.
That's easy!
Right, over you go. Next! Stop! What is your name?
Sir Galahad of Camelot.
What is your quest?
I seek the Grail.
What color is your favorite spectrum captain?
Blue. No, yellow.
Stop! What is your name?
It is Arthur, King of the Britons.
What is your quest?
To seek the Holy Grail.
What episode did the randomizer select today?
There are ways of telling.
Well, what's that then?
What does it say?
Run away! Run away! Run away! Run away! Run away!
So, welcome back to the randomizer, Terrorhawks, Series 2 with Runaway, and we open... I thought we were going to open on Mars, but we've opened in the White House, with, of course, Tiger playing his game. Mary's doing something on a computer, I think.
This time I'll beat it for sure.
Zero and Deezweet are watching both of them.
He do seem close to beating the highest score ever.
He will be the champion.
We never found out whose high score that was. I'd have to assume it's...
Quiet.
It's Tiger's own score.
What's that?
Sounds like a Zeef. Oh, Mary's painting, yes. That was something she occasionally did. Well, that's quite a nice nighttime shot.
Third time today. Who in Spacefire is that?
God. Oh, and it's lost Tiger his game. With 1 point to go to beating the high score.
If I ever get my hands on that pilot, I'll pulverize him. I'll...
Calm down, Tiger.
Some odd... The way the puppet was working there almost looked like he had some kind of facial tics going on.
Tiger.
And what's Mary painted?
Ah, yes, it's, still wet.
It's a portrait of him.
Your angry air.
With a massive eye and a zeroid inside. It's quite a nice piece, actually. And I seem to recall that was one that came up on the Terrorhawks auction a few years ago. I hope whoever got that enjoys it. Anyway, we're now on Mars. And again, it's also nighttime on Mars, interestingly enough.
I must be careful.
And someone...
Wake them up.
...is trying to sneak away.
Uncle Youngster?
An odd shot of the floor there, actually, where we can see what I guess might be panels that were removed to allow the puppeteers to get in there and
running away.
Work the characters.
Where?
Yes, young star is...
Where to?
I don't know.
He's going to run away from home.
To Earth.
And of course he's got his stick with a little bundle of supplies on the end of it.
Little girl, and go back to bed.
Aww. All right, Uncle.
And I love that young star... treats the girl persona.
What have we here?
Of its star. Very differently than he does the boy. He seems to almost trust the girl.
Has a lot to answer.
Which its star, of course, exploits at various points.
Yes, indeed.
For how long, man, uncle?
Forever.
That long, eh? Well,
it's a nice touch to the character. You can imagine that after so many episodes of abuse...
I prepared a small dish, which I'm sure you will enjoy.
He'd have got thoroughly fed up with living here.
The table.
Ah, it's dark.
Some light in here.
Was already planning to see his uncle off.
My favourite. Oh, what's this grey powder?
Cocaine.
White sauce. Try it.
Oh, yeah. It's a reminder that the Terrorhawks puppets can do many things, but they can't eat convincingly.
Very good.
Young Star got most of that up his nose and down his shirt.
Here's to your new life. Three cheers for Young Star. Hip hip, hooray! Hip hip,
And I love Youngstar's building enthusiasm. up to that. And of course then we have Zelda and Sistar show up in their nightgear.
Did we wake you, my grandmother?
Oh, we didn't mean to do that, my grandmother.
Mother, I...
Spit it out, you tongue-tied freak.
Oh, it would have been so much easier if he just left.
To run away from home.
What?
I am going to strike out on my own.
I'm going to open Weatherspoons, Mother. I think it will do quite well.
I can't do the voice.
Thinks he is leaving home. But I will soon.
Yeah, Sistar's got her curlers in. Oh, they look brilliant. Again, I think this is things where the people working on the show must have just had an absolute ball. Anything went in Terrahawks.
Is it, my devious one?
And that's part of the appeal, I think.
Not let your simpleton of a son run away to Earth.
Because he wouldn't last 5 minutes.
Correct.
So there was a plan within a plan here. Youngstar had a plan to run away.
Accursed Terrahawks.
Who would take him?
To their stinking lair.
And if a device had been secreted on his person?
We could discover the location of the secret hawk nest.
Youngstar's just eating in the background.
Could quickly detect such a bugging device.
Not if it was in the form of a special powder which pervaded the whole body.
Does such a powder exist?
Yes, my grandmother, he just ate it.
Again, more build. Oh, Youngstar wiping his face with his napkin. Yeah, more building hysteria with Denise and Jeremy there doing those characters. I love that. Yes, my grandmother, he just ate it.
When I get to the earth.
And this is lovely.
I can walk among the trees and eat coal and enjoy myself.
Oh, it's just such a wonderful insight into the character. You know, the idea of him being able to enjoy himself in any way is so alien to him that he feels he has to run away to a completely different planet in order to do it. And enjoying himself comes third after eating coal. It's just lovely. Anyway, these space Zeroids can't stop Youngstar. There's coal to be eaten, and he's going to eat it. Oh. Ah.
The Zeef has entered a space flight corridor.
Of course it has. There was always a convenient freighter nearby.
Transporter.
To hide near if we needed it.
Here comes the land.
Uh-oh.
But I think I'm coming down too fast.
Whoa. Yes, he's hit the ground. It's a very nice crash landing here. And this, yes, it flips and ends up upside down.
I'm down.
So, of course,
I'm upside down. I must have landed in Australia.
God. Again, it's a brilliant bit of humour. I love a lot of the humour in this episode.
10-10, hero.
It's very Tony Barwick. Very quotable lines in this one.
Live.
And of course, where has Youngstar landed? Well, he's landed on the outskirts of Badwater County, and there, over the road...
Peters for Elias. What? Oh, no, it's Pete's for Elias.
Yes, it's the diner in, of course, Badwater County.
Morning.
Ah, I think this is the first of two appearances for Pete the diner owner and the very glamorous waitress Sue Ellen. Who's about to get a very nasty shock when she sees Youngstar.
It be?
Do you have any coal?
What?
Coal.
We're on gas.
Oh dear. I make no apologies for the fact that I find this a very funny episode. I'm very glad to see it come up today. And for such a minor character, Sue Ellen actually got some very nice publicity photos taken of her. You may have seen them. If you follow the Terrorhawk's Facebook page, you may have seen some of them crop up.
Care what he looks like.
Some second series characters got some very nice publicity photos. Mrs. Dapples is one, and the Space Cyclops was another. And, of course, young stars eating the menu.
Water, sir? Pete! Call the police! He's a nut!
I know some people aren't quite that keen on Pete and Sue Ellen, but I think they're a nice addition to the sort of non-existence of Badwater County, really. It's nice to flesh it out beyond one street and a police station.
Here, Bull.
And speaking of policemen,
Sue Ellen, what's all this about?
Sheriff Bull's here. More importantly, he managed to get up from behind his desk.
Two glasses, a fork, and a spoon.
Oh, yeah?
And here comes another killer line.
Where you think you're at, boy?
Australia?
On your feet, boy. I'm taking you into custody.
Yes, it's just... I love it. I love the silliness of that.
Can you hear me, Mom?
The puppetry here is a bit lacking.
Trouble again.
Sheriff Bull's really having trouble getting Youngstar out the door, and it almost looks like they're about to kiss because the puppets are just so close to each other. And here comes Colonel Johnson.
Driver from the Zeef.
To chat to Tiger at the White House. Interestingly, there's a shot of his helijet on what appears to be a golf course.
Interrogate him at Hawknest?
In the front of Hawknest? I can't decide if that's the front or back.
I know. No more questions. I'll be on my way.
I just came here to say one line and now I'm going. Yeah, there's definitely a golf course sort of flag there that the helijet's landed next to. Again, I gather Tony Barwick was a keen golfer, so maybe he put that little note in the script, that the Terrorhawks have their own golf course.
This survivor, he falls so conveniently right into the palm of our hand.
So?
So, I have a theory it's all a little too easy.
Call for you on three, sir.
No calls.
I think you'll want to take this one, sir.
Why didn't you send Hawkwing out to
overflying the White House,
intercept the Zeef once it came into the Earth's atmosphere?
Yeah. My name's Harry Salzburg. I guess you've heard of me.
The only
I make the James Bunt films.
Well, we're doing a location reconnaissance, and your house would be just perfect for my next epic.
Out of the question, Tiger.
We've got that big golf match tomorrow.
Sure. I'm a producer.
Then we may be able to do a little business.
Ah. Aha! And now it's time for Andabo Records. Our other regular Badwater County location. And I can tell by the waveform on my timeline here, we're about to get a whole slab of living in the 21st century here, which was used in abbreviated form on the American broadcast of the show.
We live in love.
But I like the lyrics in this. A lot of them are nonsense, but it's a nice tune. As Kate's, so many of Kate's songs were, I wish we had more of them.
Living in the 21st century.
I'm not sure what she's wearing there. It's a sort of dressing gown come dress thing. Has an odd fastener around the neck. I mean, I'm no expert on ladies' fashion, so maybe someone out there will say, actually, no, that's a very, very stylish thing she's wearing. But I don't know. I think she's had better. And very cool, actually, reflection there of Stu's hands playing the piano, reflected in his sunglasses. So obviously, you couldn't get a Terrorhawk's puppet to play the piano, but just the reflection of it in his eyes does effectively suggest that he actually is.
Do we have a problem?
Yes, I have to leave.
Oh, well, that's fantastic, really. I mean, great, you know? Wonderful.
Oh, Stu's in Sarky mode today.
Why do you always ask me that, man? It really bugs me, you know? I mean, why do you always say it? What's happening, Stu? What's happening, Stu? I mean, it drives me crazy, man. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
And I guess there's only so many responses you can do to this joke over the course of the series, but this is quite an effective one.
Faceless sheet of glass.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Mr. King. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, Stu, just take it easy.
Yeah, I'm fine, really. Yeah, I'm all right now.
Mr. King must have to allocate a certain number of hours per day to dealing with Stu and his little ways. And there, here we are in Sheriff Ball's office.
Right. Speak to me.
Another chance for me to mention that I own the diplomas on the office wall there. For me. And the telephone, which was just briefly in shot there.
Crazy old boy in here.
Right away, Sheriff.
Now, you put me in mind of someone. That little old singer gal.
Really?
You wouldn't just happen to be Kate Kestrel now, would you?
Is it likely, Sheriff?
About as likely as a snowball in the Arizona desert.
Oh, dear. Yes. Severe breathing problems for Sheriff Bull.
Kilroy!
But I love how many files he's got on the shelf behind him there.
Well, he's all yours.
I mean, you assume they are case histories, but I've always wondered if they are cases completed successfully or cases unsolved. We will never know. But here we are.
The prisoner is without.
Has he been checked?
Yes, sir.
And interestingly, considering this is the White House, well, supposed to be the White House, they have a photo of Kate in her Terrorhawk's uniform.
Off Hawkeye.
And speaking of surprising things, here's Hawkeye.
He might try and make a bolt.
In the second series of Terrorhawks.
He's not gone.
What's he doing here? Hadn't he faded into non-existence by this point?
You're at Hawknest.
It's almost sort of like unsettling when you see Hawkeye. Well, not unsettling, but it's like genuinely sort of, oh. When you see Hawkeye pop up in the second series, because he's just never there.
And finally...
I think he maybe has three appearances, tops.
Undoubtedly.
But it stars...
Secret base.
Magic graphite explosive compound thingy.
Undoubtedly, my grandmother.
Which they're using to track young star.
They attack.
Oh, and they're sending the Rhino to do this attack. Very serious stuff. And young star looking very tight-lipped.
Take over, Mary. I can't get a thing out of him.
You ran away from your home on Mars?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Secretly?
I've always got the impression that young star rather liked Mary.
The night.
So Zelda didn't know.
Yes.
In fact, I kind of wanted to do in the Terrorhawks audios a story, a body swap story, where Zelda swaps bodies with Mary. So now the Terrorhawks have to deal with Mary... inhabited by the spirit of Zelda, this very nice woman who's suddenly snapping at them. And on Mars, Mary is in Zelda's body, and the way she kind of escapes is to be very nice to young star, who suddenly finds that his mother is exactly the kind of mother that he always wanted.
Missiles.
Obviously it never happened.
That target.
Maybe one day, who knows, but I think you need Dinnies for that, because she's just brilliant.
What was Zelda's plan?
And she's opened fire.
Give me a plan, but...
on young star's location.
Give me a bowl of lovely food.
Either he's very clever, or a complete idiot.
Well, what do you think?
What is it, Zero?
Spacehawk reports a stream of high-velocity missiles.
Target?
Right where we are standing.
Ooh. And some very nice expressions on the young star puppet there in trying to look tight-lipped, and then he realizes he's under attack. Oh, maybe...
Heck, Zelda?
This isn't what I thought it would be.
Nothing to do, you blonde buffoon.
Oh. And Zelda can't get through to reclaim young star.
It's the powder that pervades his body.
Oh.
Ooh, something wrong, Mommy. 3 minutes, Tiger.
Well, I guess it's time to leave.
You think I don't understand what's going on? You're leaving, but all this will be destroyed. Hawknest will be blown into tiny pieces.
So, have they won?
Outside.
Could young star be right for the first time in his life? Or not?
It's cardboard. The wall's made of cardboard!
Sorry to disappoint you. You're not in Hawknest. This is a set on an empty stage in an abandoned film studio due for demolition.
Aha! Well, it was very lucky that that happened to become available thanks to Mr. Salzburg. And there's a model, well, a couple of models. There's a TB-1 on a red nose cone, and there's a Century 21 production slate. So yeah, we're meant to assume that this is the old site of Century 21 Productions.
Mein uncle is a most unfortunate fellow.
And we're coming up on a line here that I've always found a bit strange, and I've often wondered if it's a reference to something.
If I had a candle, I could have some light. If I had a match.
Is that a quote? Is that a reference for something? Is that more Shakespeare that I am unaware of? Oh, that's quite a brutal, end for Young Star there. The doorway of the White House just collapsed on him. And you have this, the shot of the wall falling, the shot of Young Star reacting, and then just sudden black. He's dead.
Oh, Young Star.
Young Star's dead.
My poor little boy.
Oh.
Well, that's the way the cookie cake crumbles. He's most certainly dead.
Dead?
No.
Then my powers may now well work.
Oh. Well, that's an interesting twist. We can recover the body at least. Oh. Well, that's quite a sad shot. Poor dead Young Star. All he wanted was a quiet life, eating coal.
If you don't mind me saying so, sir, he was as artful as a shuttle full of space monkeys.
Just business,
Hero. Isn't that a... That's not a compliment, is it?
Or rather, Zelda demolished an old studio for him.
That implies chaos and just madness. The Tiger takes it well, and Sistar's working on repairing Young Star with a soldering iron.
Soldered back into place.
Because Sistar's the one you want to trust with a soldering iron, isn't she?
My looks.
Don't worry, mine uncle. Your looks will still scatter a crowd at 40 paces.
Crowd at 40 paces?
Oh, dear. Of course he has to join in, because he doesn't want to feel left out. Poor old Young Star.
I don't get that.
So Young Star finds himself back in the environment that he was so keen to escape from at the beginning of the story. And there we go, that was Runaway. And I've always really liked that one as a story. It's a very thin twist that they have this movie studio guy who just so happens to have a studio that he needs to have demolished. But I think what carries that is the humour and the character stuff, really. It is totally in character and totally believable that Young Star would be fed up. He might start thinking, oh, maybe there's a better life on the Earth. Maybe it's just that idea of him, his idea of happiness is just walking in the trees and eating coal and enjoying himself. It's a lovely insight into one of my favourite characters, quite poignant in a way. That he has these dreams and he's not allowed to fulfil them, but hey ho. That's just part of being Young Star, I guess.